Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a teaching on how to follow God's will, and we're now in the fifth and final part of this five-part set. And this teaching is about the wisdom of God in a mystery. And tomorrow is going to be my last day to teach on this, so I encourage you to please get these materials. And this five-part album on how to fulfill God's will is just one part of an entire package we have that we've entitled God's Will Package. And it includes three albums. Each album has five teachings in it. And the first one is on how to find God's will. The second one is on how to follow God's will. And the third one that I'll be starting on Monday is on how to fulfill God's will. And this package also has included in it a Destiny Stories DVD where we've interviewed people from Uganda and South Africa and the U.S. about how that they have found, followed, and fulfilled God's will in their life. And it's really a faith builder. So I encourage you to get these materials, and tomorrow will be our last day that we offer this individual tape entitled The Wisdom of God in a Mystery as our gift to you. Now, this week I've been talking about how that in the Spirit we have the mind of Christ, and we have been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created us, Colossians 3:10. And we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And so in our spirit, we have God's wisdom, God's ability to know and to follow His will. But the problem is our mind gets in the way. We lean unto our own understanding, which the Scripture tells us not to do. And there are so many people. I wished I could just somehow or another talk to every one of you individually. If I could get you one-on-one and talk to you and ask you questions, there, every born-again person has God speaking to you, but it's in the Spirit. God talks to you through the Spirit, not through your brain. Now, He will explain things to you and give you knowledge in your mind, in your understanding, but God is a Spirit, and God communicates with us Spirit to Spirit. And it's in your spirit that you have the leading and the direction and the wisdom of God. And the problem is that we feel things in our spirit. I can guarantee many of you have had God speak to you. If you could just somehow or another sit down and say, all right, if there was no financial constraints, if I didn't have to worry about what anybody thought, if I didn't have to think about whether I'm qualified to do this, this, and this, and if you were to just, if somehow you could just remove all of the barriers that we place in our way and say, what do I really want to do? I can guarantee you God has spoken to you and given you things in your heart, but then your mind gets in gear and you talk yourself out of it because of fear and because of the counsel of other people, the criticism of other people, and on it goes. And so there's this conflict between our carnal wisdom and the wisdom of God that He put in our spirit. How do we overcome that? Well, there's a lot of things. This is just one of them, but I've been teaching this week that the Apostle Paul said the wisdom he was using was not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, how did he get this wisdom of God in a mystery? If you continue to read in 1 Corinthians, he comes down to chapter 14, and he says that when you are speaking in tongues, your spirit is speaking mysteries. This wisdom of God in a mystery is what you're speaking. You put this together with 1 Corinthians 14:14 that says, when you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit prays. The part of you that has the mind of Christ, that has this anointing from God, is praying. So you are speaking the wisdom of God out of your mouth. And all you have to do is pray to interpret. It says here in 1 Corinthians 14:13, it says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he interpret. And so right there, it tells you to interpret. Now, some people will say, but this is talking about the gift of speaking in tongues that operates in a church assembly. I will admit this, that this is primarily the point that Paul is addressing right here, is about how this gift of speaking in tongues operates when we are all together as a body of believers. But look at this. in verse 18, Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul said he spoke in tongues more than all of these believers in the Corinth church added together. And then in the next verse, he says, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So the Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, but you can tell by his own words right here that it wasn't in church that he was speaking in tongues. He spoke in tongues privately. And so speaking in tongues isn't something that only operates in a church assembly. There is a private speaking in tongues, and all of these things that are being said about it are true. When you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. When you speak in tongues, it's your spirit praying. And I also believe that when you speak in tongues, you can pray and ask God to interpret your tongue. Now, there needs to be some wisdom to apply to this, because it's just like anything. If you give a kid a gun, it's powerful. And you know what? That gun could protect that child. It could ward off an intruder. If you were starving, if you were out in the woods someplace, you could use that gun to get you food and it could preserve your life. A gun is a good thing if you use it right. But to put something powerful into the hands of somebody who's immature and doesn't have the ability to really control it, it's also dangerous. And likewise, this gift of speaking in tongues is powerful, and all of these things I'm saying are true, but it's also potentially dangerous. If you have somebody immature, just say, well, all right, when I pray in tongues, it's my spirit praying, so I'm going to pray that I interpret, and so they just pray, and then the first thought that comes to their mind or the first thing that they think, they just say it, and they might come out with something that is not inspired by God. Let me make a few points here, and I hadn't got time to emphasize these or expand on them the way I should, but I'm just going to say them quickly and hope that the Holy Spirit will use it to give you some wisdom in this. Just because you speak in tongues does not mean you're spiritual. You can take 1 Corinthians and look at it, and the Corinthians spoke in tongues a lot, so much so that the Apostle Paul was telling them, you need to quit doing this as much. And he said right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that if you are gathered together as a body of believers, there shouldn't be more than two or three at the very most that speak in tongues and deliver a message, and if they do it, it has to be interpreted. So he put some restrictions on it and limited how much they could speak in tongues. Why? Because they were carnal. They were actually getting drunk as they took communion. They were doing all kinds of things. The Corinthian church was one of the most carnal groups of people that the Apostle Paul wrote to, and yet they had this gift of speaking in tongues. So let me make this point. Just because you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues does not mean that you are pure Holy Spirit. Amen. When you speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues wrong. You know, I know some people, they just can't grab hold of this. They say, now, wait a minute, if it's a Holy Spirit, well, then how can you say that there could be flesh or any carnality in it? Let me take an example that I think you can understand. That when I teach, did you know that it is a gift of God? Now, some of you may doubt that, and you may criticize me and think, I don't think you're anointed by God. But you don't know where I'm coming from. I couldn't look at a person in the face and even talk to him. I was so introverted. And I'm doing something that it's impossible for me to do in the natural. Whether you realize it or not, I know that God has anointed me and that there is an anointing, a supernatural anointing by God for me to speak. And God inspires me. I actually have gone back and listened to some of my teaching, and when I listen to it, I think, where did that come from? It really wasn't me. I wasn't originating. I was just a channel that God was flowing through. And I've been amazed at times some of the things that come out of me, things that I didn't even know that I knew until I said them. And so my point is, I believe that God inspires what I'm saying, but does that mean that because I'm inspired by God, that every single word that comes out of my mouth is 100% pure Holy Spirit? I think most people recognize that that's not so. That when a minister ministers, it can be inspired of God, but it's going to flow through them. And it'll come out like with me. It comes out in my Texas twang. It comes out in my sense of humor. It comes out through me, and people listen to me and they think, well, that's you talking. It is me talking, but it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But as it passes through my soul, it picks up some of my traits and some of my personality and things like this. Does that mean that it's not God? No, it's God inspired, but that doesn't mean that it's pure God. I say things that are wrong. I sometimes give the wrong reference for a scripture. I had a woman one time that got so turned on by my teaching, she took some of my teaching to her pastor, and her pastor was very antagonistic, and he sat down and analyzed every little detail. And on this teaching tape, probably an hour and a half's worth of teaching, I may have used close to 100 scriptures, but I misquoted where the reference was for one of them. And that guy, that pastor says, "See, I told you that this is of the devil, because if he was of God, he said that this scripture was found in this place." I quoted the scripture right, but I gave the wrong reference. And he says, "That's not of God." And he told her, "You need to throw it away. This is of the devil." He was just looking for something. Just because I may use a wrong reference, or sometimes I say the wrong word or stumble over my words, that doesn't mean that I'm not God inspired. It just means that by the time it gets through me, it picks up some of me, and there can be flesh in it. Well, it's the same thing with speaking in tongues. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, on the day of Pentecost, that they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Here's a news flash that's going to surprise some of you, but the Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. It's not the Holy Spirit taking control of you and making you speak in tongues. That's not how it works. It's the same as me right now. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to people through me and giving them answers and showing them things. And God is inspiring me, and I'm speaking to people all over the world. But it's not pure 100% Holy Spirit. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it comes out in my voice, with my accent, with my personality. But it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Likewise, when you speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit inspires it, but He doesn't take control of you and make you talk in tongues. See, this is one reason. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit March the 23rd, 1968, but I didn't speak in tongues until 1971. And see, there's a lot of people that think, "Oh, now wait a minute, you didn't really get the baptism of the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues." I'm not going to go into it and defend it. I'm just giving you my testimony. My life was radically changed, but I was a Baptist. And I had been taught that speaking in tongues was of the devil. And I had come to the place that I didn't believe it was of the devil, but if God wanted me to speak in tongues, He would have to force me to do it. He would have to do it. I wasn't going to do anything. And so because of that wrong thinking and doctrine, thinking that the Holy Spirit was just going to take me and make my mouth move, I didn't speak in tongues when I first received the Holy Spirit. I had tremendous benefit of the Holy Spirit in my life, but I wasn't speaking in tongues. And it took 3.5 years before I finally got my mind renewed. And the one scripture that really pushed me over the edge was Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." The Holy Spirit didn't speak in tongues through them. He inspired them, and they had to do the talking. Again, it's just like when I'm teaching right here. If I was to pray and say, "Oh God, speak through me and don't let me say anything but that's of You. Just take control and speak through me today." And then I open up my mouth and I just wait on the Holy Spirit to make me talk, nothing would happen. God doesn't take me and just force me to talk. I am not possessed and dominated and controlled by the Holy Spirit where I'm speaking out of control. The Holy Spirit is inspiring me, but I'm talking. And that's the reason it doesn't come out any better than it does, is because I still am in the process of renewing my mind and doing things, but the Holy Spirit's inspiring it. Likewise, when you speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit doesn't take control and force you to speak. See, this, I struggled with this for years because I wanted it to be pure Holy Spirit, and it's not. The Holy Spirit inspires it, but it's me speaking in tongues. So I got off on all of this by saying that the Holy Spirit, you can be praying in tongues and yet still be carnal. You can be using it to show that, "Look, I'm holier than you are. I've got the gifts of speaking in tongues, and you start speaking in tongues to make somebody think that you're super spiritual. There could be flesh involved in it. So my point in getting on all of this is that when you are speaking in tongues, it doesn't mean that every thought and everything in your body is now completely holy and pure and you are super spiritual. You still have a part of you that is natural. You still have a part of you that is subject to your own pride and selfishness and hurts and pains and all of these other things. So if you go to praying in tongues and then say, oh God, give me an interpretation, you just can't take the first thought that comes to your mind and say, this is God and this is what God's telling me to do. You have to be able to check everything, and the Holy Spirit will never speak anything to you that contradicts the Word of God. Never. If, say, for instance, you are struggling over your marriage and you're saying, oh God, what do I do? So you start praying in tongues and ask for an interpretation and you think, I'm going to divorce them. I think that's what God wants me to do. You know what the Bible says in Malachi? God hates divorce. I think that there are some situations that divorce is the lesser of two evils. It might be better for you to divorce than to kill each other. I'm not saying that you can't ever divorce, but I am saying that the Bible definitely does not promote divorce. If you're praying and all of a sudden you see some beautiful woman walk by and think, I think I'll marry her instead of the one I'm married to, that's adultery, and I can guarantee you that's contrary to the Word of God. So regardless of what, even if you're praying in tongues and if you have some thought come to you, you have to check it by the Word of God. And you have to be able to say this is consistent with God, what God's Word says. This is the same thing that the Bible says here. The Lord will never lead you into sin. He'll never lead you into pride. He'll never lead you into rebellion. He'll never lead you to hurt other people. And you need to have enough wisdom from the Word of God to be able to accurately interpret what's going on in you. And if you are immature and don't have any confidence that you really are able to judge these things, then you ought to go to someone who is mature and submit to them the things that you feel God is impressing you to do. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God will discern between flesh and spirit. It'll discern between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is how you evaluate things. So there's a lot of things. There's some warnings, some cautions that need to go along with this, just the same as anything that is potentially powerful. But despite all of that, what I'm saying is true, that when you are speaking in tongues, it's your spirit praying. And what is it praying? It's praying the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ, the part of you that has an unction from the Holy One and knows all things is speaking. And then all you have to do is 1 Corinthians 14:13, if you pray in tongues, pray also that you interpret. And just ask God to give you an interpretation of what you've been praying. God, I believe that as I speak in tongues, your Holy Spirit is speaking and inspiring this, and I'm speaking forth the wisdom of God in a mystery. But Father, I don't want to keep my understanding unfruitful. I want to understand what I'm doing. So show me, reveal to me. And if you'll pray that way, I guarantee you God will begin to start doing supernatural things in your life. Let me also give this explanation that when you pray in tongues, it says, 1 Corinthians 14:14, that your understanding is unfruitful. That means that you don't know what you're saying. But you can pray for an interpretation. If you're in a church service and if you spoke in tongues, you have to stop speaking in tongues and give an interpretation in English or whatever the known language is to fulfill the requirements here in 1 Corinthians 14. But if you are praying by yourself, which again, remember that Paul said he prayed in tongues more than all of them, but it was privately. If you are praying in tongues by yourself, you don't have to stop praying in tongues and then give an interpretation in English or whatever your known language is. All you have to do is have your understanding become fruitful. And I know that I'm speaking to a lot of people that probably have very limited experience with speaking in tongues. Even if you've received the baptism and have spoken in tongues, very few Christians do it regularly. And so you may not have used this gift of speaking in tongues enough to understand this, but if you pray in tongues, it's your spirit praying, 1 Corinthians 14:14, and you got to do something with your mind. You can't just have your mind shut off. Some people appear that that's true, but it's not. Amen. Your mind is always functioning. It's always thinking. And so when you're praying in tongues, it's not coming out of your mind. You know, this is one way that you can kind of verify or check. Is what you're saying, is this really God? Because if you are praying in tongues, you can read the Bible and have perfect understanding of it, perfect comprehension. Even you can comprehend it better and get revelation from it while you're speaking in tongues. But I challenge you, try and read the Bible and quote, "Mary had a little lamb" at the same time. See, because that's coming out of your mind. Some poem that you've learned, that's coming out of your mind. And you can't do two separate things at one time. And so this is one of the ways you can tell. See, if I was to sit down and try and read Scripture and yet quote something that I had memorized in my brain, I would either be focused on what I'm quoting or I'd be focused on the Scripture and I'd probably have to quit reciting something. You can't do that. But when you pray in tongues, I can pray in tongues and read the Bible and have perfect comprehension because I'm doing one with my spirit and the other one with my brain. So when you're praying in tongues, your spirit is praying, but what do you do with your mind? What are you thinking on? Well, my own personal experience is that when I started doing this, my mind would wander and it would go different places as I was speaking in tongues. So what I started doing was I would pray with my spirit in tongues, but then I would also pray with my mind. So while I was speaking in tongues, I was having a complete prayer life going on in my mind at the same time. And I'm not going to have time to give all of the examples of this today. I'll finish this up tomorrow. But as I started doing this, I mean, I started experiencing that as I would pray, God would bring people to my remembrance and start showing me things about, you need to say this to this person, you need to do this, you need to do this. And I didn't understand it at first, but through a series of supernatural, and I mean, it was absolutely supernatural experiences, I began to recognize there was a connection. And what I was actually doing as I prayed in English in my own thoughts, that was a result. It was being inspired and directed and energized, empowered by me speaking in tongues. In a sense, what I was doing was interpreting my tongues. I would pray for people that I hadn't thought of in years, and then boom, I'd see them and I would have exactly the words to speak to them. At first, I thought it was just coincidence, but I began to realize that what it was, the Holy Spirit, as I prayed in tongues, was influencing the way I thought, and actually it was an interpretation. It was a result of me praying in tongues. Like I said, I'm out of time today, but I will explain this more on our program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in. Also, we've got this entire package that we're calling God's Will Package that has all three of these five-part teachings in them and a Destiny Stories DVD. It would be a blessing to you. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Follow God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will Package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge.
Once again today, I'd like to make as a special offer, in addition to our normal things that we're offering, this book entitled The New You in the Holy Spirit. And this is a book that I wrote about what being born again is and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I specifically emphasize speaking in tongues. And we give this to all of the people who come forward at my Gospel Truth seminars. And I tell you, I have seen thousands of people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues through this little teaching. Today, I'm making this an additional offer, just as a blessing. This is my gift to you. If you would like to receive this, you can call or write. We've got the information on the screen and request this book. And please get these other materials on how to follow God's will.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009. And since then, we've been going through permit process. The plot that I'm on right now is where our buildings will sit. The view behind me of Pikes Peak is where we'll be building these buildings. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes. And we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.